We bless God for everyone that is here today. We know it is people being sick and not being able. I think I left them on the desk again this week. People being sick and not being able to be here. We want you to be wise in your coming and going. Amen. They're talking about the resurgence of COVID and other different types of demos going on around here. And so the people of God are never scared, but we are wise. Amen. And so we want you to be careful. We want you to be safe. We got hand sanitizer for you. Amen. Come take some of his hand sanitizer. Amen. I want to talk to you from a title. Are you new now? Are you new now? As I look around the room, and I know we got several people out today, but I know we got some people online, and I know we got some people on the live stream. And the question I just want to ask everybody is, are you new now? Amen. I know you've been in church. I know you've been in church. Thank you so much. Church since a child. I know you went to church with grandmama and mama and daddy and all them. And I know you sung in the choir, and I know you did the children's play, and I know you went to vacation Bible school. But the question I want to ask you in 2025 is, are you new now? A few years ago, I stood in this very pulpit, and I asked you a very serious question. And the question was serious, but because of its simplicity, I believe that the depth of the question was missed or overlooked. It is critical that years later we revisit the question, and my prayer is this time around we consider the question with a more mature mind. And the reason I say a more mature mind is because when the mind has matured, the one thing it won't let you do is lie to you about you. Not when the mind has spiritually matured. Every now and again, it would be to everyone in here's best interest to call a timeout in this rat race that we call life and have some real live introspection and just really be real with yourself. When's the last time that you've really just been real with yourself? Lord have mercy. The word introspection, simply defined as an examination of one's own thoughts and feelings. An examination of one's own thoughts and feelings. And if I could just get you to grab your smartphones, your pencil, your pen, your piece of paper, and I just want you to ask yourself a couple of questions real quick. I don't want you to ask. I just want you to write the questions down. We'll talk about them in the end. Question number one, do you write it down like this? Do I still lie? Don't say, well, about, you know, this, but maybe not. No, just the question is, do I still lie? Question number two, do I put people on my taxes that don't live in my house? It just got deep. Question number three, this is a good one. Do I still cuss? Yeah. Even if they just cut you off in traffic, do I still cuss? Here's another one. Here's the last one. I'm going to let you off the hook. Do I gossip? Do I gossip? Well, I guess I just lie because I got one more question. The last question would be, do I like to listen to gossip? The word, again, introspection, simply defined as an examination of one's own thoughts and feelings. And there are two verses in the Bible that support why we should have introspection often. The first verse is in Proverbs 21 and 2. Let's go there. We'll first read it in the New King James Version. And it says, every man, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Ooh, that's deep right there, ain't it? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. And the New Living Translation says it like this, people may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their heart. Oh, Lord, that put a twist on it, didn't it? So let's go back. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. You ever just been right and knew you was right? But then after a while, after you had some time to think about it, you begin to realize maybe you're not as right as you thought you was. See, I want you to understand that no matter how you stand on business, no matter if you stand 10 toes down, it don't make no never mind when God begins to weigh your heart. So you can be as right as you want to be in your own mind, but God sits back and says, but I'm God, I'm perfect, I know all, and even though you feel real strongly about that, this is really what it is. And then in the New Living Translation, it says, people might be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their heart. You ever done something and said you did it for this reason, but the reality is you know you did it for a whole other reason? God says you can tell people what you want to. You can tell them that you did what you did for this reason if you want to. He says, but I'm God and I weigh the hearts. I know why you do what you really do when you do what it is that you do. By nature, we justify ourselves. Sometimes we do this in sincerity, sometimes with deception. But what you will mostly find is that we tend to justify ourselves with deception when our lives isn't right with God. See, you can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. Just as you can do the wrong thing having right intentions. And it's very important that you know which side of the line you're on when you're operating, because both of these instances can mess things up badly. See, help isn't help in God's eyes when it's not done with a pure heart. And when it's done from a pure place, you won't talk about how you helped or how much you helped, whether you really had it to do or not. You just help and you move on. And this would explain why some of you help people all the time, but you never seem to be blessed yourself. Quiet in here. It could be because your motives are wrong and you get just what you're looking for. So somebody might say, man, Kevin's car really looks good. And then somebody else could come along and say, yeah, you know, I loaned him the money for the tent. Now, nobody loaned Kevin the money for the tent. Let me just go ahead and put that out there, okay? Because you know how folks are. Pastor must have loaned him the money. No, I didn't. In fact, I had a set of rims I was going to sell him, and I said, I need my money up front, in my hand. I wasn't trying to help Kevin at all. I help me help you. Help you help me. But what did I say? I need my smackaroonies right in my hand. And he just laughed, and I was like this. But Kevin really wanted to have his car tinted when he first got his car. He really wanted it tinted. He was like, man, I got to get it tinted. And I was just sitting there like, what you telling me for? Because I ain't got it, homie. And just imagine if Paige said, you know what, it's Kevin's birthday. It ain't Kevin's birthday. But if they said it's Kevin's birthday, and you know, Kevin, I done seen Kevin help a whole lot of people. I'm gonna help Kevin out. Kevin, here's this little money for the tent. You go ahead and get your car tinted, and you can pay me back when you can get it, right? And that's it. She blessed Kevin. But when If the car ride by and everybody be like, ooh-wee, Kevin's doing good for himself. Look at that tent on that car. And Paige say, yeah, I had to go ahead and loan it to him because he was getting ready to go crazy if he didn't get the car tinted in time. Guess what? And somebody say, well, that was nice of you, Paige. Guess what the Bible says? That was nice of you, Paige. Says she just got her reward. Lord, have mercy. Listen, I love y'all, and I like when y'all think I do something nice. And I like when y'all say stuff like, that was good, Pastor. You understand what I'm saying to you? But keep it to yourself. I got another reward, amen, that I'm looking forward to. And it's okay that you thought whatever I was doing was okay. But I'd rather have however God's going to bless me. Amen. Ain't nothing against your, you know, that a boy, Steve. But I'd rather have that a boy from the Almighty, amen? So when you do something for someone, do it from a pure place. So that your Lord that seen you do it in secret can bless you in the open. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Let's take it to the Bible and let Scripture support what I'm trying to say. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, the New Living Translation. And the Bible says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward that they will ever get. Ain't that deep? Let me take it deeper and bless you a little harder, okay? So this is for the future, okay? You know how you bless somebody when y'all cool, and then when you get mad, y'all get mad at each other? And you say something like, it wasn't like it when I helped them with their water bill. Guess what? You just robbed yourself of the blessing of being a blessing to that person from God. You don't get to get upset and then all of a sudden remember what you've done for somebody. When you do a deed for somebody, just do the deed and be done with it. Amen. And you want to be that type of person of character that when you do something for someone, we ain't never got to talk about it again. If you pay me back, you pay me back. But if you don't, for real, the Bible told me, don't loan you nothing that I can't let go. Oh, God. That's why I wasn't going to give him no money for the tent. I was going to need that back, Eli. You understand what I'm saying to you? I was going to need that back. And, you know, yeah. So, and I wanted to be biblical about it. And as soon as I said, you know, he said, if you need it back, don't give it. I'm going to need that back so you can't have it. Amen. Doorkeeping. Amen. Stewardship. Amen. Keeping a friend even. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Because I'm the type of friend, I'll loan you a little money for some tent with a little something on it. I'm going to need a little more back. Amen. Let me act right. Now this is Jesus saying, and he's saying, when you help someone, you need to keep that to yourself. And do you know, he calls them hypocrites because they are doing things as if to be a blessing, but really it's to be able to say that they did. Lord, have mercy. And he goes on. I'm going to just go ahead. Can I be honest about my marriage? Miriam would do something for me, and we never hear nothing about it. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when I say something like, hey, Marie, can I get a sandwich? And she'd be like, and she might just say something like, hold on, I'm doing something else for you, right? And I'll say something like, it wasn't like that when you wanted me to take the trash out. Yeah. Just bless them and be a blessing and be done with it. Amen. Because you don't want to be the person that has the type of character that just does things so that you can say that you did. And he goes on and he says that whatever good job or that a boy or praise that they get from who they are bragging to, that's all the reward they will ever get for what they've done for that person. But even in the midst of his instruction to the disciples, he gives a promise to the one who, when they help someone, does it right. Look at it. Same chapter, just a few verses down, Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. And I want to use the New King James Version on this one because of one word. It says, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees it in secret, he will himself reward you openly. You see the promise? And your Father who sees it in secret will himself reward you openly. And the word that I want you to see is openly. Somebody say openly. In front of everybody, whether they like it or not. It's something about when God blesses you openly. When God blesses you openly, it doesn't have to make sense to folk. When it doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't have to make sense to your haters. You know, and when it don't make sense to your haters, they make stuff up. But God will bless you openly. You understand what I'm saying to you? He will bless you to the point to where it gives your haters fits. All you have to do is do it the way God said do it. And God says, I bless you in the midst of your haters. I'll bless you in the midst of the madness when there's famine all around and money can't be found and food is scarce and everything is crazy. I'll bless you in the middle of it. When your heart is in the right position, it don't make no never mind what people say or think because you have tapped into a kingdom formula. And what's the formula? Let me give you the formula. You ready? Do everything from a pure place, plus keep it to yourself equals blessed openly. Let me give it to you again. Do everything from a pure place, plus keep it to yourself equals blessed openly. That's a formula. So again, honest introspection is necessary because it shows you what's really going on with you, why you do the things that you do, and why you may or may not be getting blessed, or that you may or may not be in right alignment with God. The book of Proverbs says in chapter 4, verse number 23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I like this version that's on the screen. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. That's the New King James Version. The version that I read to you was the New Living Translation. Look at that again. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So get this. Out of what springs out of your heart, Lord have mercy, controls how you move, controls what you're connected to, controls what you're on. So you have to keep it with diligence. I like this term in the New Living Translation. It says, guard your heart above all else. In other words, when I begin to think about guard your heart, I think of a military fashion. I begin to become military minded, and someone's saying, hark, who goes there? You don't just get to get space in my mind. You don't just get to say whatever to me. You don't just get to sow whatever into me. In the military, when you're doing guard duty, and somebody comes on your particular spot, and the first thing that you're supposed to say from the foxhole is, halt, who goes there? State your name. State your purpose. And the problem in the body of Christ is we got too many people trying to be friendly and nobody trying to figure out what is the purpose of the person trying to get in your mind. And I got to know. I got to know, because the issues of life spring from what's in my mind. Lord, have mercy. Introspection helps you to guard your heart, and your heart translates to mean what? Your mind. Introspection helps you to guard your heart from just thinking that you're okay. Life happens, seasons shift, hell hits. Throughout a day alone, your emotions and thoughts can be compromised. Sometimes you have to fall back and look at where you are and be real about what you find. And if what you find, when you find things out of whack, love you enough to correct it. Love the people that love you enough to correct it. Don't just sit back, know you're crazy, and stay crazy. Don't just sit back, find that you're foul, and just stay foul. Every now and again, there has to be a surgery. When you do introspection or when you do inspection, you understand what I'm saying to you. The Bible says if we would check ourselves, we would not have to, if we would judge ourselves, we would not have to be judged. Every now and again, you have to sit back and spend some quality time with you. Cut the Netflix off, put your cell phone down, tell the kids to go play, and you have to have a conversation with yourself. How am I for real? Can I be trusted to always, always, always do the right thing? Can I be trusted all the time? Am I dependable? Is my word bond? Are my morals and values in alignment with my Savior? Every now and then it do you some good to just sit down and have a little talk with yourself. And when you find that things aren't right, love you enough to do something about it. Love the people who put up with you enough to do something about it. Just because you accept you crazy don't mean that everybody else accept it. Just because you accept that you're a liar doesn't mean that everybody else has to accept it. And it's foul and wrong to expect them to accept your idioticies and your craziness with no thought process of doing anything about it. That's a foul individual. I've been this way all my life. That don't make it okay. This is how God made me. The devil is a lie. God didn't make you like that. God ain't made you like that. You chose to be that way. Amen. You might have been taught, but after a while, you begin to understand that your learned behavior was wrong, and you were supposed to do something about it. Lord, have mercy. And so the question for some in the room, today is, are you new now? Yeah, you've been in church for a while. I done seen a few of you a lot of times. I done seen a lot of you a few times. My question is, are you new now? Can you honestly say that things have changed in your life? Okay, so let me get it straight. I know that Pastor Sonia teaches a word. I know that Pastor Miriam teaches a word. I know that Pastor Larissa teaches a word. I know that Pastor Lyons teaches a word. I've been going to this church for a while. I've been hearing a word for a while. I can never go to church and say, I didn't get a word today. I got a word. My question, with all that word that you got, even Buddy playing the keyboard, even Brent playing the drums, the question is, are you new now? Has anything shifted? Has anything changed? Has anything hit home to where we said we cannot continue to be the way that we've been, even if it ain't that messed up, it's messed up. And since it's messed up, it needs to be dealt with. You know why it's hard for people to do introspection? You know why it's hard for people to judge themselves? Because it's hard for them to look at what they are despite what they kick. ain't it hard? Anybody in here ever told a lie? And then got to yourself and had to deal with the fact that you handled that with a lie? How'd that make you feel? Lord, have mercy. Can I just take it deeper than that? You ever done somebody you love wrong? Lord, have mercy. Whether it be your mate, whether it be your children, whether it be your mama, whether it be whoever. You love them, but you done them wrong. And not only did you do them wrong, you lied about doing them wrong. Lord, have mercy. That's a hard pill to swallow when you're judging yourself, ain't it? Let me tell you something. Some of the roughest times in my life has not been at the hands of my haters. It's not been in the face of my enemies. It's not been in the people that in the front of people that judge me. Some of the hardest times of my life have been in my man cave where I'm just sitting there by myself going, man, you messed that up. Looking in that mirror. You ever look in the mirror and can't look long? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Because you can't stand and look at you. Because I'm going to tell you something. My life has been so jacked up at times that I have actually seen myself and couldn't stand myself. And the only thing that makes that right is when you begin to deal with self. So my question, are you new now? Because, you know, if you're new here at Growth, if you just recently began to walk this journey, the question for you is, are you new? But for some of you who've been here for a while, I'm talking about a year or longer, my question is to you, are you new now? See? And this is a critical question because it is possible to come to church for years and still be the you you were before you got here, the you you've been since being here. And here's what's dangerous with that. People who don't do church, who don't do God, that's connected to you, will watch you come to church, will watch you serve in the church, yet see no change and no power in you. And one of two things can happen there, and both is catastrophic. One, they will see the hypocrisy in you. They see no change in you, and they think it's God's fault or the church's fault, and decide, well, if it can't help you, it can't help me. That's catastrophic. And the people it seems to be helping is probably lying and just playing a role. Either way, I don't want no part of it. Then the other thing that can happen is this. That same people group see the hypocrisy in you. They see no change in you. They get the idea that God has no standard. And so they walk into this with no thought process to change, just go to church, talk about God is good and I'm blessed, the Lord gave me, and that's enough. Catastrophic. How was church? God's good. What did he talk about? I don't know. He good though. And he preached. The problem with hypocrisy is that hypocrisy is usually bathed in fun. So if I see Kevin still smoking weed, still drinking, still hoeing around, still doing what he do, you understand what I'm saying to you? Then I look at Kevin and go, and you go to church? Church might not be too bad. We can do everything we was doing before. And all we got to say is, I love you, Jesus. And I love you more than anything. And we good? Hold on. I heard once saved, always saved. I heard if I get saved once, I'm always saved. So it don't make no never mind what I do outside of being after I get saved. Because I said I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So now I'm good no matter what it is I do. The devil is a lie. You got to deal with this. We got to deal with this. Listen, I'm almost done. The Lord gave me a vision while working on this. I want everyone to pay close attention to it. Imagine that you were looking for something precious. Something precious. I mean, and it was critical that you found it. And at least once a week, you were in the room with it. But didn't know it because you were looking at the room wrong. Do I need to go back over that? I'm going to say it again. Imagine that you were looking for something precious and it was critical that you found it. And at least once a week, watch this, you were in the room with it. But didn't know it because you were looking at the room wrong. You just saw the room. But because you didn't investigate the room, you didn't see there was more you needed to do than just walk in the room. You might need to clean the room. But the sad reality becomes that you never find that precious thing because all you ever did was just come in the room. I think that every Sunday, God possibly grieves because he watches so many of his children that are precious to him come in the room, but never find him, never find the one that they've been looking for because they have been taught to just come in the room. Can I just go ahead and tell the whole church and let the whole church know that those that's even those that's watching this on the live and those that's watching this via live stream, if you are going to be successful in this Christian walk, you don't have to be Moses, Paul, or John, but you do have to be, you have to be new. You don't have to be perfect, but there does have to be change. You don't have to change years overnight. But you do have to start. I dare you to decide the old you is dead and you're about to walk into every new thing that God has for you. Yes, sir. Let me just tell you something. There's something about someone that's had an experience with Jesus. All through the four Gospels, every time you find someone in distress to the point to where they call on his name and he responds, the first thing you see is change. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, she's been in a state of unclean. But the moment she experiences Jesus, what happens? Change, healing, breakthrough. She gets her life back, and guess what? She's never the same again. The moment the demon-possessed man who identified himself as Legion, for he was possessed with anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 demons, had an encounter with Jesus, what's the first thing we see? Set free, deliverance, clothed, and in his right mind, change. Four dedicated friends tear the roof off of a house that they don't even own because they want to see their paralyzed friend healed. And in an instant, with a moment with Jesus, the man takes up his bed and walks. What did we see? We saw change. Let me just say this, and you need to hear me and hear me good. You speaking in tongues does not impress me. Your prophetic word does not impress me. The fact that you were a heathen and now got saved does not excite me at all. It does not excite, it don't even excite the devil. Lord have mercy. But when God is looking for, Lord have mercy. But when God is looking, well, what God is looking for and the devil is hoping never happens is that you have an experience with God, that you touch the hem of his garment, and that you have this one moment that allows you to declare, I know I've been changed. Is it anybody in the building ready to stop playing church and be the church for real? So here's the scripture I'm going to end with. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So get this, you don't get to claim being in Christ but not be new. In Christ means new. And let me tell you something about this Bible that we read. This Bible is so cold that it can renew you every day. It can actually literally renew you every day. In fact, I believe that God expects us to be renewed every day. Every day we ought to be a little deeper in him on the strength of the word of God that he has provided for us over 2,000. Every day we're supposed to be new. And he says, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Now, here's a Bible study I done years ago just with three words. Lily, you'll remember this. If any and in. If makes it conditional. Some of you are trying to say, I can't believe that they walk around talking about they saved, but they act the way that they do. That's if. If they was in Christ, they wouldn't operate the way that they do. Any. It means anyone. Nobody gets to say, I'm in Christ, but I'm not new. Anybody who says that they are Christ's child, Christ's brother, God, Abba is our father. God, Jesus is God's son. And so Jesus is God's son, and we are adopted in, we are engrafted in, that makes Jesus our brother. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, some people get scared about this. Say something like, I ain't going to say he my brother. That's too deep. That's the word. Now, listen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Get this part right here. Old things have passed away. In other words, passed away means died. They're dead. They don't exist anymore. They have no more power. They have no more strength. They should have no more influence. Old things have passed away. And then he says, behold. So you never said something like, behold. When you say behold, that's an action word. That's an excitement word. Behold, all things have become new. Like, can you believe it? Such and such was a heathen times 10. But now, look, all old things have passed away, and everything about this person is new. I want to end with telling you a story. Not even a story. I want to tell you, Wednesday night, we were in here. For those of you that came to Bible study, we were here, and one of my prayers was that Sister Shaniqua had called me from Louisville and told me that a young lady, 34 years old, pastor's wife, mother of seven, youngest baby one, out of the blue, out of nowhere, had a stroke. And she was on life support Wednesday. Got the call that morning, and I had been praying for this young lady because we had met her a couple of times, and she was so special. She was so sweet. 34 years old. God, this can't be your will. You promised us 70. Something's off with the math right here. And I began to pray. And I prayed like she was kin to me. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because to be quite frankly, she is kin to me by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm praying for her. And this is breaking my heart because my wife, my first wife, died in my arms at 34 years old. And I'm sitting back and I'm thinking my boy is 33 years old. And she's a couple of months older than him. And what in the world would I do if I got a phone call that says that something happened and he ain't here no more at 30? And it begins to push me in prayer. I'm at my job, my new job, and I done pulled a chair out and I've made it my altar. And I'm on my knees and I'm crying, literally towel paper in my hand. I'm just crying my heart out, God, please do something. Thursday morning, I get the call that she went on to glory. And that the husband, pastor friend of mine, was distraught. Took me back to years ago when they was trying to pry her out of my arms, telling me she'd never get up again. And I sat down on the side of the bed and I began to think about Jesus. And I began to think about all the games that people play with Jesus. And here we had a blood-bought baby believer who had given her life to him in totality. And she was gone at 34. And we got 50-year-old and 60-year-old people playing games with God. Everybody going to heaven, but don't nobody know how to live, to die. To live again. And my heart was just breaking in pieces because we keep playing with this Savior. We keep getting all these shots at it. But the ones that are sitting back and they're living this thing for real, they have given their whole life, their whole existence to Him, and they leave the planet at 34. But everybody playing games. And I decided, and I told my wife this, and you've heard me say this before, Sonia, I don't want to do this no more if we just gonna play. I don't have another year in me without seeing some type of change. I don't have it in me to just sit around and see people talk about how saved they are. But when hell happens, we see somebody else. I can't stomach another year of it. I wasn't fake in the streets, and I couldn't come to church and be fake. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's time for signs, miracles, and wonders. It's time for living this thing so for real that we should be able to walk past people and heal headaches. Just don't even know they had one, but just all of a sudden you was feeling crazy, but then we walked past you and everything. And it ain't just me because I'm the preacher. You should be able to do it too, and you should be able to do it too, and you should be able to do it too. And we should just be able to lay hands on somebody with cancer and cancer gone, because that's what Jesus did. And he told us in his word, he said, don't even trip about what you see me doing, because these works and greater you will do. He said these works. Jesus was picking people up from the dead. Jesus was giving sight to the blind. What's wrong with our Holy Ghost? What's wrong with our Holy Ghost? Why ain't we healing people? He said these works and greater. Hold on, he said greater. When he's talking about greater, what he's saying is you will actually, not only will you be able to heal, not only will you be able to resurrect, not only will you be able to give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, but watch this. You'll be able to take the gospel further than what I took it. Don't we got the internet? You can type somebody a sermon right now and it go further than you ever will. Greater than these works. These works and greater you will do. But I'm just caught up on the healing right now. I got a grandson that's suffering from autism by the name of Levi. And he can't form words, but he's a genius. I would just love to lay hands on him and hear him say a complete sentence to me. And we out here playing with this thing. Listen. Things are so crazy at this church right now. Things are so crazy. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. I really don't. But I ain't got another worried bone in my body. And all I can do for the rest of the time that we're here is trust God like never before. Believe him like never before. And I ain't even got time to be worried about this church. I got to be worried that the message gets out there. Jesus is alive, and he's still in the saving business. That's all I got time for. That's all you got time for. We ain't got time for nothing else. What's going to happen with this building is going to be. It ain't in our hands. What's going to happen with this ministry, it's going to be. It ain't in our hands. And all I know is that if he brings me to it, he's been known to bring me through it. You understand what I'm saying to you? But whether I'm preaching here next month, or in a shelter in Green Acres, the word of God is still going to go forth. Now I'm focusing on laying hands on the sick, speaking into the oppressed, uplifting the broken. That's where I'm at right now. I don't have time for anything else. Amen. You can play the soft music. I'm done. Just won't be new.